Serrat and Murciano rolling along with you on this great-looking Friday afternoon. You know, occasionally you hear about these YouTube stars that have millions of followers and views, and you wonder, who are these people and how they get to be YouTube stars? Don't you wonder about that?
I wonder about that all the time.
And we have a YouTube star with us today. As a matter of fact, she was named in Forbes 30 Under 30, Forbes magazine. Not a bad thing. Grace Helbig has a new book out, Grace's Guide, The Art of Pretending to Be a Grown-Up. Welcome.
Thank you for having
me. Hi, Grace.
Hi.
You know, the first thing that caught my eye about this book is one of the notes about it says that in the book you talk about your disastrous interview for NBC's Page program.
Yes.
And as an ex-NBC Page, I was fascinated by this.
Yeah, congratulations. You made the cut. I did not.
What happened? Why wouldn't they have an attractive, smart young woman like yourself in the Page program?
You know, I don't know. I think when I applied for the Page program, I was at a point in my, career development where I wasn't as confident with my skill sets. I wasn't as confident in job interviews in general. So the interview, you know, wasn't the best. But I also think that the interviewer was maybe not having the best day as well. They were on their computer having in a chat room talking to a friend the whole time, and I could see it in the reflection of the window behind her during the whole
interview.
Were
they talking about you?
I couldn't read the text, but I could see like all the little emojis popping up, and I knew that this is not my day. This is not where I'm going to succeed.
What were you trying to do? I mean, were you like a journalism student, or were
I was? I wanted to get involved in comedy. Mm-hmm. I wasn't totally sure exactly how or in which way. I was interning at Conan O'Brien at the time.
Did you grow up in California?
No, I grew up in New Jersey originally, and I went to college in North Jersey. And I wanted to be a screenwriter. I wanted to write films. I never really wanted to be in front of a camera or to act or do any of that. But I got involved in the improv comedy world when I moved to Brooklyn after I graduated. And I started to get more confident on stage and have more fun with comedy in general and got involved in the comedy community itself. And then started making these internet videos as just a hobby, something that was really fun.
So what was the genesis of the internet videos, the YouTube videos? What was your goal? What did you set out to do?
Absolutely nothing. I was making these videos because it was a fun activity to do at the end of the day. I ended up working after not making it into the Page program. I ended up getting a job in project management at MTV in Manhattan, and my roommate and I lived in Brooklyn, and so she was working for a wedding videographer at the time. And at the end of our day jobs, we'd come back home, we'd have a glass of wine, we'd talk to each other about our days, and we would film these little videos kind of, you know, summarizing what it was like moving and transitioning to Brooklyn after college and what we were going through. And we would try to out-edit each other and make them as funny as possible. And then eventually a website called MyDamnChannel.com found the videos.
Called what?
MyDamnChannel.com.
My mm-hmm. damn channel.
Okay. Yeah. They're not subtle. They picked up found the videos and brought me in, and we started to develop a series with them that I did from my home, which was called Daily Grace at the time, for 5 years. And then at the beginning of this year, it launched my own independent YouTube channel.
Grace Helbig is the host of It's Grace on YouTube. How do you get to the point where you have like 2 million subscribers and more than 50 million views? I want to know how to make that happen.
The bribery, just sheer. I send out a lot of cold hard cash to a lot of people. I think it takes a long time. It's really brand building online. It's discovering and experimenting with your voice and your perspective of the world and what you want to put out there. And I, like I said, didn't really know what I wanted to put out there. I knew that I was having a good time making content, and I knew that it was starting to slowly pick up, and that, like the comedy community, YouTube very much has a community.
How was the content changing at this point? What were you aiming to do? Like, how did you notice, oh, I get more followers if I do this?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's YouTube is such an intimate platform. It's so much different than traditional media because you have a conversation with your audience. You're talking directly to them, and they're giving you feedback, and you're conversing about it, which is so different. So it's really listening to an audience's feedback. A lot of times when I make videos, I might not have an idea on my own. So I'll reach out on Twitter or Tumblr or some other social media platform and ask, what do you guys want to see? And if they give me an idea, I try and filter it through what I think is the funniest way to showcase that. And then, you know, the conversation continues. So I think to develop a brand online is really checking in with yourself and seeing what you want to put out there, and then checking in with an audience and seeing what they are enjoying, what are they resonating with, what is really affecting them.
Who is your audience? Going through the book, Grace's Guide, mm-hmm. The Art of Pretending to Be a Grown-Up, it's a lot of fun, but there are some very sensible tips in here,
yeah.
And there are a few directed at adults as well.
Yeah, I hope so. The audience, it's really interesting because I tell everyone the way that I started creating web videos, and the process for me was always thinking about the guy I was dating at the time. I thought he was the funniest person in the universe, and so if this one human watched my video and laughed, that would be a total success. So what can I do in this video to make this one person laugh? Which took away all of the stress of trying to have mass appeal and trying to create a quote-unquote viral video. So somehow trying to make a 30-year-old comedy writer laugh cultivated an audience of about 16 to 24-year-old females. Mm-hmm. And so I think the audience, it's mostly this new term, millennials. Mm-hmm. And the book is supposed to be, you know, for them and tongue-in-cheek, and but also with some sincerity based on, you know, personal experiences that I've had. And ultimately for anyone that's having a transitional time that might want to hear about someone else's transitional time.
How long are the videos, and how, by having a video, do you get new subscribers? How is it word of mouth?
It's a lot. It's very much, you know, grassroots promotion. You are really trying, and I had a really, I had a struggle with this because I'm not one to be like, please watch me, look at me, please, 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 like
right.
Beg people to look at you. But I realized from being in the traditional comedy improv world that it was really difficult to try and get 100 people to buy tickets to see you in a theater and come to the theater and watch you.
Right.
And it was a lot easier to try and get 100 people to sit at home and click on your video. So it's just, you have to promote yourself. You have to be, you know, your biggest fan, really.
Yeah, there are a lot of female comics on the scene now, but historically, these shows, you mentioned Conan O'Brien, mm-hmm. Letterman, Leno, these shows historically have had a shortage of female comedy writers, mm-hmm. haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, I get the question a lot, you know, what's it like being a female in the comedy world? And, you know, it's very quote-unquote trendy to be a lady in comedy yeah. right now. And it's always very strange to me because I don't consider myself a woman in comedy. I consider myself a human that's trying to make people laugh. And I think that comedy comes from your point of view of the world in general, and my point of view just happens to be female skewed because I'm a lady.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Where do you go from here? Is it, do you want to do stand-up comedy?
No, I don't want to. I am terrified of stand-up comedy, and I highly respect anyone that is a stand-up comedian because mm-hmm. that is really the most vulnerable thing, I feel like, putting yourself out there in the world like that. It is, you're by yourself, an island of one, so God mm-hmm. bless. But I don't know what's next, really. Every opportunity that's arisen and that has been successful for me, for my definition of success, has happened because of a very basic improv philosophy of saying yes and to something that arises that mm-hmm. you might not have thought about or planned for.
It's YouTube star Grace Helbig, the book Grace's Guide, The Art of Pretending to Be a Grown-Up, sort of a tongue-in-cheek handbook for millennials. Let's take a mm-hmm. quick break, and then I want to get into some of what you write about here, Grace.
Sure.
Tips on surviving school in the office, dating digitally, and making adult friends. See, that's something I need to pay attention to as well, right after this. That's our weekend song, and it's a good one. And with us this afternoon, she's won all the awards for you know, Webbies, the Webby Awards, Personality of the Year, YouTube star Grace Helbig, host of It's Grace on YouTube. Her book is Grace's Guide, The Art of Pretending to Be a Grown-Up. You know what? I want to continue pretending to be a grown-up, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think that's the best way to do it. No one really knows how to do it, so I think it takes a lot of the pressure off when you resign yourself to just pretending.
In the book, you write about, among other things, how to make adult friends.
Yes.
Now, this is directed at young people who would like to make some some parental friends of friends. How does this work?
I think, well, for me, it comes from just my personal experience of going through high school and going through college and not being very social, but and feeling a pressure to have a certain number of friends and feeling a pressure to make really cool, awesome friends and really cool, awesome memories, and thinking that those were the only moments of my life that I could do that. So I have to do it as fast as possible before I get into the real world, and then I don't have any friends. But I realized that when I got into the real world that you absolutely can make friends as adults, and my closest friends now are friends I've made in the past few years.
Not your childhood friends?
I have childhood friends, but now I have really close adult friends that I've made that, you know, are in my life in a different way. We work together, we play together. It's really great relationships that I didn't really think could happen, you know.
This book is really such a cute book. And
thanks.
Of course,
it's got lots of pictures.
You are adorable. So, I can see how people would want to follow you and listen to some of your YouTube videos. But I can just see my 14-year-old grabbing mm-hmm. this book and thinking, this is so cool. But then you turn to page 34 and, you know, you're giving your opinion about certain things about balancing work and play. Mm-hmm. And when you get to drugs, you just say, don't do them. Be cool, dude.
Yeah.
And I love that because that's the way kids speak. And and it's good for them to have a YouTube idol. I mean, like, those are the kinds of idols that I want, you know, my daughter to look up to, not the really cool druggies at school.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, the really cool druggies don't have a great life after school's over.
They're not cool.
Yeah, they're not cool. It's the thing. I am, when I graduated college, I got really into reading self-help books. I read Eat, Pray, Love. I was really affected by it at the time. Really wanted to find my purpose, wanted to have life experiences. So I read a lot of self-help books, and they just never really hit me. It felt like kind of generic advice. It felt like a lot of them were similarly packaged with the same advice, just in slightly different ways. So I really set out with this book. It's not a Bible. It's not the end-all, be-all way to live. It's just, here is really what I've experienced, and take this how you will. If anything, I hope it starts a conversation between you and a friend, or you and your parent, or you and,
right, that's the best you can hope for. You write about dating digitally, which everybody does now. What's your advice on that?
My advice on dating digitally is just proceed with caution. I feel like there's, you know, a lot of stuff on the internet that once you put it out there, it doesn't go away. It's not like it used to be where you could call someone on the phone and tell them things. And this, now everything is documented and everything is kept, that I think it makes life a lot easier to date digitally sometimes, but it also makes it way more complicated. So just be cautious.
Yeah, I've cut way back since our marriage. I don't do that much anymore.
You're not on Tinder as much as
you
used to be.
No, it's just as well. It is too scary.
Gotta explain Tinder to Bob.
Although there's no stigma about it anymore.
About what?
Dating online.
It used to be like a very negative thing.
Right, not anymore.
And people would be embarrassed to say they met through eHarmony or something like that. And now it's, people get so busy and so career-oriented that the only way that they can have romantic relationships is through these digital experiences.
Exactly.
I love some of your advice here, your tips that you list. Actually, disclaimer. See a doctor, remove yourself from stressful situations, breathe, look at puppies, rip up paper. Come on, we all want to do that. Throw balled up socks at the wall.
Yeah.
Meditate, which is a big joke for you, right? You don't meditate.
I try.
Meditate.
I'm just not great at it, is the thing.
It's hard.
Yeah, it is. And those that are great.
But these are tips that I think you know, millennials could relate to.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've never really openly talked about my issues with anxiety in the past, and I do that a lot in the book. And I think that that is something, I've gotten really great feedback on that, because a lot of millennials feel like they don't get talked to directly about it. And I think talking about it diffuses the severity of it for a person. So,
and if somebody wants to go to your YouTube channel, mm-hmm. what do they have to do? And is there one particular episode that you say, watch this one first if you want to see what I'm all about?
I don't know that there's one episode that encompasses all of it. I hope any episode that they watch intrigues them to watch one more and one more. I hope it's like a bag of chips.
And you how do they get there? One.
They go to youtube.com/itsgrace.
And you know what? Grace Helbig, YouTube star, needs some guest stars occasionally. So Marianne and I are available for that.
Yeah. Anytime.
The book is Grace's Guide, The Art of Pretending to Be a Grown-Up. Grace Helbig, you can meet her and get a signed copy of her book tonight at Anderson's Bookshop over on Jefferson Avenue in Naperville. That's a great spot. Anderson's in Naperville, and Grace will be there at 7 o'clock. Great to meet you.
Nice to meet
Thanks,
you, too.
Grace. Good luck.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And you know what? I just realized I forgot a little while ago I was supposed to give away some Richard Marks tickets. He's going to be at the Park West Sunday, and we'll give away four pairs right now. And I'll tell you what, we'll use something Grace said to give away the tickets. I was going to do some sort of secret message, but let's just say the first four callers who can tell us what Grace's advice was about drugs will get the tickets.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
312.
The phones are already they're going.
981.
Steam coming off of
7200. 312-981-7200. What was the advice from Grace Helbig on drugs? It was short and simple, wasn't it?